Saga Egmont presents The Arctic Convoys, read by Patrick Warner. Welcome. As World War II raged across the Russian steppes, in Africa, and especially in the skies over Europe, elite German and Soviet forces fought a bitter battle in an isolated northern corner of Europe. Here, the battle was for control of the ice-free port of Murmansk, where the Soviet Union received convoy after convoy loaded with British and American tanks, guns, fuel, small arms, food, and aircraft. Supplies from the Allied convoys kept the Soviet Union alive at a critical time during the early stages of the war, and Hitler therefore tried every means to stop the convoys. At the beginning of the campaign against the Soviet Union, he hoped to capture Murmansk and thus weaken his archenemy. Later, when he realized that fighting in the barren, mountainous terrain of the north was unwinnable, he set his sights on destroying the convoys. The Luftwaffe and U-boats attacked the Allied sailors throughout the perpetual daylight of polar summer, while crushing ice and raging storms threatened during the dark winter months. For the men aboard the Arctic convoys, the voyages were dreaded, and it was with good reason that the crews dubbed them suicide convoys. If they fell overboard in a storm, a quick death awaited them in the icy sea, and if the ship's holds, filled with fuel and ammunition, were hit by a torpedo or a bomb, everything exploded in a sea of flames. The Arctic convoy trips and the fighting on the Northern Front challenged some of the war's toughest men. Read their stories here. Contents. 1. Convoys to save Soviet Union. 2. Blitzkrieg in Arctic. 3. Death in ice hell. 4. The last eyewitness. 5. PQ-17 paid a heavy price. 6. Hunters became the hunted. 7. Endgame in the Arctic. 8. Why didn't Hitler take Murmansk? 1. Convoys to save Soviet Union. When the Nazi war machine roared across the borders of the Soviet Union on the 22nd of June 1941, Britain and the US immediately offered to help the Soviets. The Red Army needed everything, from boots to tanks, so a few months after the invasion, sailors began to ship huge quantities of supplies to the Soviet Union. By Stina Overby. It came as a shock when Hitler's war machine of up to 3.5 million troops, supported by aircraft and some 3,000 tanks, pushed across the 3,000-kilometer Soviet border from Finland in the north to the Black Sea in the south on the 22nd of June 1941 and surged forwards. Joseph Stalin may have known the invasion was coming, but he'd hoped the 1939 non-aggression pact with Hitler would hold a little longer, at least until the Soviet Union was better equipped to defend itself. The exhausted Soviet soldiers therefore became cannon fodder, and the inhabitants of the Soviet Union were left bewildered by the fact that the two allies had gone from living in what amounted to a marriage of convenience to becoming mortal enemies overnight. It wasn't just the Soviets who were horrified. In London, the British government feared the consequences of the Nazi attack on the East. The Soviet economy was already strained. Vast agricultural areas had been occupied, the population was starving, and the Red Army lacked everything from food and boots to weapons, planes and tanks. Presumably, Stalin would be forced to surrender within weeks, with disastrous consequences for the course of the war. If the Soviets did capitulate, the Nazis would not only be able to transfer all their forces to the Western Front, they would also have access to vast quantities of raw materials that could make the Third Reich virtually invincible. "We have only to kick in the door and the whole rotten structure will come crashing down," Hitler had proclaimed of the Soviet superpower. With Führer Directive No. 21, Operation Barbarossa, of 18th December 1940, the Nazis had begun preparations to crush Soviet Russia in a quick campaign. The Nazi leaders had optimistically reckoned it would take 6 weeks to overrun the Soviet Union and defeat the Red Army. In one fell swoop, Hitler would wipe out communism and destroy the last obstacle standing between him and his total domination of Europe. Now the day had come when deafening thunder from German guns shattered the peace in the Soviet Union.